Welcome to F1 Debrief. I'm setting new heights of lows. Coming up this week, we talk about all that went on in Malaysia, plus a fantasy races update and a voicemail from the circuit.
The white visor, otherwise I cannot see anything.
Felipe, baby, stay cool. We're bringing you the white visor. Stay cool. We're in a good position. Okay?
I love that.
How could you not start the show off with that? We have to say thank you to Amy for finding that clip for us. How awesome. That's going to be, that's going to come back to haunt somebody, isn't it?
Bless Rob, he's so sweet. Actually, it's been a weekend of sound bites, really, because we also had the one of Buemi in qualifying.
Oh,
which,
yes. Oh, have you got that? Because I need to hear that.
I do have that, also thanks to Amy.
I went out in the gravel, I was so fast, 3.5 tenths. No!
Oh, I don't know.
That's not funny.
In the
That's just sad.
No! I like the way he told the team how fast he was, like they didn't know on the dashboard. Like, I really was fast.
Honestly.
Now I'm in the gravel. Oh, what a weekend for soundbites. Love it. Love it to pieces.
Good week, bad week.
It's been a good week for Kovalainen because after Australia, he said he was pleased with his own driving and that up until Sunday, he had been outpacing Hamilton. So it was a good week. However, if you take into account today's race, perhaps not so good.
Heikki Kovalainen still yet to complete a lap in 2009.
It's all very well outpacing Hamilton, but if you can't race, you're not going to get very far.
If you can't see at least the line more than once, what have you got to show for it, really? How do we know how good he is this year? We think he should be better because he should be, you know, better at managing a bad chassis, and he has experience battling in the midfield more than Lewis, and therefore he should outpace the guy. Not a stellar start to his year.
It's been a bad week for Alonso, who was recovering from flu and suffering from an ear infection. He was sent home early on Thursday, allowed to ditch his trackside activities. On Friday, Renault didn't make him run too many laps, and by Saturday, he seemed to be okay. Didn't help his performance in the race, but I don't think it hindered him that much either.
Well, no. There's a couple of other people ill this weekend, I think. Did we hear that one of the BMW guys was not too good? It's a bit bizarre because what have they been doing? One race, and suddenly they've all been knocked down with some illnesses. Lightweights.
It's been a good week for BMW as they had their diffuser protest rejected. It's a good week because they actually managed to submit a legitimate appeal without it being thrown out.
Yay!
Woohoo! The protest was rejected, but they only did it so that Malaysia falls under the same scrutiny as Australia when it comes to the appeal hearing.
It was just a formality, and nothing changes. But they are still committed to trying to get these diffusers overturned.
It's been a bad week for Vettel as he was called back in front of the stewards. Apparently they just wanted to discuss the 10-place grid drop penalty and explain why they made the decision. I do think it's weird that they called him rather than the other way around, though. Were they feeling guilty?
Yes, they must. I don't remember the last time that ever happened. And has Vettel said anything about it since? He's been very quiet.
Not heard anything from either side. And he still took the penalty.
Obviously, yeah, someone was feeling a little bit guilty about that decision.
News and views.
The news and views for this week is all about McLaren and potentially lying to the stewards. But I want to be brief about it because the story's been told 1,000 times.
Yeah, go on then. Do give me your side of this.
Well, Lewis was called before the stewards in Malaysia to rehash what happened in Australia. It turns out that he misled them about the Trulli incident under the safety car and he was disqualified from the Australia results, which meant Yano was reinstated to third. The team and Lewis both say that he wasn't lying, but just omitting the truth, which is an age-old excuse, I think.
Mm.
They've suspended sporting director Dave Ryan, who guided Hamilton to omit the truth. The FIA are apparently still looking into it to see if McLaren deserve any more punishment.
Now, significant development in the world of Formula 1, significant moment in Lewis's life. A couple of things, really, to say on this matter. McLaren always, as far as I remember, win as a team and lose as a team. Don't recall the last time they singled out a team member and sent them home on the spot. That seems to be a significant shift in McLaren's attitude and approach to going racing. And I don't know whether or not that's because Ron wasn't here at the weekend, but they definitely said, okay, this is down to one person and that one person is going to take the fall for it. And they are now on their way home.
So do you think that it was all his fault or is he just being the fall guy?
In Lewis's defence, and this I think was a comment posted last night by Mikey, so I have to thank him for this, because this hadn't occurred to me. But this all started because Lewis got out of the car, did an interview with Speed TV and told the truth. That was Lewis's immediate reaction to tell the journalist what had honestly happened. It all went wrong when Lewis met with Dave and made their way towards the steward's office and then proceeded to tell a number of untruths.
Yeah, I don't think I really blame Lewis at all, because obviously the team pay his wages and he needs to do what's right by them, really. I mean, I understand that lying is wrong and never to be encouraged, but at the same time, if they're telling you to omit something, which obviously they don't think is lying,
yes,
then I can see why he would do that.
I do wonder how important one point really is, because all they were gaining here, they were moving from fourth to third.
Well, the big thing is that they're so sensitive to being penalised after Spa that they just wanted to make sure that nothing untoward was going to happen. And I don't think it was all about getting that one point. I think it was making sure that nothing bad happened to them.
Yes, but then they set themselves up for such a fall.
It made it even worse.
Really interesting is that Lewis lost the place. He gave the place back on track because the team told him to, but he knew in the rules that he didn't have to. And what it says to me is that Lewis knows the rule book better than his team. And therefore, the team really did let him down on that one. They're so paranoid about doing anything wrong that they told him to give a place back when he didn't have to. Now, I can see why that would upset him, because he did what was absolutely correct on track. And he knew he was right. And maybe that sort of assisted in his agreement and part, you know, his part in the lies.
I do wonder what Ron Dennis is thinking about it all, because
he must be crying.
Well, during the Spygate thing, his whole argument the whole time was that they are an honest team.
Yes.
And the whole time they were cooperating with the FIA, and okay, there was one rogue element within the team, but the rest of them were completely honest.
Mm.
And this just undermines that whole thing.
This is, well, it's another rogue element, I guess. And that's why they made the moves that they did to single out Dave, because it does cast into light this, you know, the Spygate scandal. And the honesty of that, because what was Dave's input into that investigation, and was he asked and was he consulted? Because he's clearly shown that he's not a person who, you know, he's not a person who's afraid to bend the truth in order to get the team out of a situation. And also the other thing that was really interesting this week is Fernando Alonso's comments, because he's long insisted since 2007 that McLaren lie to the stewards and that the truth hasn't come out and that he's not allowed to give his side of the truth as part of his deal to leave the team. And suddenly he's found the opportunity to stick the boot in.
Lou's just pointed out in the comments that if they were fighting this hard for one point, then it actually puts Bernie's idea that teams won't fight for one point. It kind of puts that to shame.
It very much does. That is interesting. Because it's the first race of the season. And, you know, obviously there's another 16 to go. You wouldn't have thought that it would be that important, especially when their car doesn't even look like it's capable of winning a race. They're not in the championship fight by any means.
We've seen over the past 2 years that one point is extremely important, but not at the expense of being disqualified.
Yeah, we don't know. At the moment, Lewis is still allowed to race, and the FIA haven't come down on him. I think they're waiting to hear a report from McLaren as to exactly what happened. We should say yay for the stewards. There was a lot of argument and a lot of debate going on in the comments as to whether or not things should be decided after a race. And we've long argued that really, when the fans exit the grandstands and go home, they should know what the results of the race are. And those results should stand when the same fans get home. But I think the stewards made a good call. They knew they were being lied to. They found the evidence and they held McLaren bang to rights over it.
I think there were also a lot of complaints about the fact that stewards from one race were interfering with the goings on from another race. But really, it's not that they were interfering, but they had to do something. They couldn't just ignore it.
No.
And I don't think that in this case we can blame the stewards at all for any of it. They weren't interfering. They were just fixing what had gone wrong previously.
Yeah.
And it wasn't their fault.
The one thing that you could argument, you could level at them, it was very surprising to learn that they that their process for, that originally they sent Trulli, excluded Trulli from the results, their process of doing that, all they went on was Trulli's word against Hamilton's word.
They already had the radio evidence, just didn't use it.
They didn't even bother to check. They've got all this evidence available to them. They've got unencrypted radio conversations and they didn't bother to use it. And I'm not sure why one driver's word over another driver's word should be enough to get certain driver excluded. Also, one other thing I wanted to mention, which was, I think, brought up in the comments by... Oh, I can't remember now. I'm not going to be able to give the right person credit, but I know that Stephen Roy was arguing the point. And the question was, how does this reflect on Hamilton as a driver in your eyes? So what do you reckon this does? How do you think other drivers are going to perceive him now? And will it be different from how they perceive him already? And do you think it makes any difference? Is he still an excellent Formula One driver and a worthy world champion in your eyes?
I don't think it has any bearing on how he drives, but I think it will affect how people react to him in the paddock, because he was so happy to screw over Trulli, or maybe not happy about it, but willing. It happened.
He was so willing and complicit in screwing
it's
over Trulli.
It's not exactly sporting, is it? So it doesn't affect his... I mean, it doesn't reflect on his ability to drive the car, but it does show up some sporting feelings, perhaps.
I think Bernie may have a problem. Last year, he was moaning that Kimi Raikkonen didn't do anything as an ambassador for the sport when he became the world champion. And he was really happy that Lewis was going to do wonders for the image of Formula One as an ambassador for motor racing in general. Right now, he's doing the exact opposite, because Kimi didn't manage to make this much of a hash of it. He didn't say anything and he didn't promote Formula One, but he didn't drag it through the dirt in the way that Lewis has managed to do in the last 4 days.
In the comments, Gavin's just said that Schumacher was a worthy world champion and some of his actions were questionable.
Questionable?
Yeah, that's not quite what Gavin said, but...
Well, Lewis hasn't gone that far yet. I mean, taking a competitor out off track is just as bad as driving into him on track. So, you know, it's inexcusable what the guy did. And I'm, you know, Trulli is obviously very happy as it is now, but the guy must have been fuming after last Sunday. I don't know whether we're into Schumacher-esque territory in terms of lying, cheating, and generally bringing the sport into disrepute. As yet, we haven't seen any... Well, we did see some dodgy driving in... was it Monza last year in the rain? But there hasn't been, you know, with one or two drivers getting squeezed off track by Lewis. But as yet, he's not gone into the Michael Schumacher territory.
Well, he doesn't seem to be at all malicious yet.
No.
He's just racing for the wins, doing what he thinks is right, doing what he thinks the team want him to do.
Yes. Is it about time the guy struck out on his own? Because he said in the press conference, which he basically had to do all by himself, there was nobody with him, which was unusual. I don't remember the last time a driver just stood up and held his own press conference. Must be a very long time since that happened.
He's already going out by himself.
Yeah, he said he obviously felt he needed to do it. I think it was right to do it, and it certainly got a lot of journalists off his back. I do wonder whether his comments that he's always done what the team have told him to do makes him a little bit weaker, because, you know, the guy's got to think for himself. He's old enough to think for himself. He's the world champion, for goodness sake, and he should be making those decisions.
Well, there's no doubt that it's made a rift in the team, and especially now that Ron Dennis isn't there all the time. I thought he was coming to all the races. I didn't see him there today. But now that he's not there, you've got to wonder whether Lewis will have the same closeness within the team. I mean, there's a raft of stories today that, you know, he wants to leave and where can he go and what's going to happen. But I think that's going overboard.
Yeah, no, that's going to happen. That's it. That's fine. That's generally just looking for an angle. Ron Dennis definitely didn't come to Malaysia, which was unusual. He was in Australia, wasn't he? We saw him there. And this one was left to Martin. I do wonder about the future of Martin Whitmarsh.
Doesn't reflect well that the first time you left on your own, this happens.
Wow, what an unmitigated failure on his part.
And I'm quite disappointed, because actually, I mean, I preferred Martin Whitmarsh to Ron Dennis. I found that he seemed to be much more open and honest. And now I'm just worried because he came across as quite a politician, very diplomatic, not giving too much away, you know.
He looked exhausted.
Yeah.
And McLaren have to sort out their PR department. I mean, they've brought on two or three motorsport journalists to try and help them with the press side of it. And since those guys have become involved, it's gone severely.
It's gone from
downhill.
Bad to worse.
Yeah, it's just one disaster after another. Their PR department is just miserable. And that's something they've, regardless of their abilities on track and the pace of the car, they've just got to sort out their PR department ASAP. It's a disaster.
So I said we were going to keep it brief, but apparently not. It just brings up lots of topics, doesn't it? But anyway, we should move on to the race.
The race.
Before we get into our race discussion, we've had some predictions. It's been a while, but let's listen to them.
Hi, it's Keith and Marshall here. Predictions for Malaysia. First place, I reckon, Jarno Trulli. Second place, Button. And third place, Lewis. Cheers, guys. See you later.
Coolside Podcast, this is Jordan here calling from Kamloops, British Columbia, Canada, here to make my Malaysian Grand Prix predictions of 2009. Qualifying, quite interesting, didn't end up watching it because it was pretty late where I am. Thanks a lot, Bernie, for pushing it. So anyway, qualifying, we had Jenson Button, who got his second pole of the year, second race. Yarno Trulli second, and Sebastian Vettel third. Vettel has the 10th-place grid penalty. That dropped him. Same with Rubens. He gets a 5 for Gearbox. The Toyotas in 2 and 3, then it leaves. So anyway, my predictions are, I think it's going to be Yarno Trulli is going to win in second. I think it'll be Kimi Raikkonen. I think Kimi can push through the field, and he maybe can do it. And in third, I think we're going to see Nico Rosberg in the Williams. I think Button might fade back. And depending if the rain comes or not, I think we could see Alonso move up the field. Hamilton and Covey might struggle a bit. So we have to see what happens. Don't know if I'll be able to stay up and watch it, but you know, I'll see if I can. It's quite a bit late, so I'll see. But anyway, so those are my predictions, and hope we see a great race.
Interested. Thanks to those predictions from Keith and Jordan. Both those guys had Trulli for the win.
Yeah, well, after qualifying, you can see why. I like Jordan's voicemail because it basically sums up everything that happened in
qualifying.
Doing
our job for us.
So we don't have to. I love it. I also like what Jordan said about thanks to Bernie for pushing it back so he can't watch it.
Yeah, that was a popular decision. We'll come back to that in a minute. And one thing I did want to say, though, Jordan had Rosberg for third. What a start to the race that man had.
Yes. Well, Button sort of had a very bad start.
Yep.
Didn't really go anywhere.
Didn't get off the line.
Although not as bad as Kubica, who actually stopped on the line, basically.
That's true. Yep. Although he had problems on the parade lap.
Yes. But yeah, Button didn't get a good start and Rosberg just streaked away into the distance.
That was amazing. For a car that is not fitted with Kurs, he certainly made light work of the guys in front of him. That was incredible. He went so quickly, I was slightly concerned he jumped the start, but nothing was said about it, and it looks like it was just a lightning getaway from the guy. And he led, and my goodness, he pulled away.
Well, the start was really good because there was no major crash or anything around the first corner. Buemi, something happened to him.
He came in for a nose change,
yeah,
didn't he?
We didn't see what happened to him, but obviously he must have tapped someone.
Yep.
And then Kovalainen didn't make it anywhere, as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, bless the guy. Less said about that one, the better, I think.
And Kubica, he, like I said, didn't go anywhere off the line. And then his car burst into flames, which is always fun.
Yeah. Rubbish marshalling, I thought. They didn't look at all concerned about the flames coming out the back of that car. Probably more damage was caused than it was necessary. And yeah, not impressed by those guys.
He said, Kubica said his engine was making funny noises on the formation lap. And by the time he could ask the team what to do about it, it was already on fire.
Right. That was the end of him. A shame, really, because we had high hopes for the way the BMW handles racing, and nothing much came of it.
Before the rain came, we really saw some stunning racing, didn't we?
It was immense. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I wish that the rain never happened in this race. Sometimes when it's really dull, we pray for rain. Valencia, we'll be doing a rain dance every day of the weekend. Here, I really wish the dry race had played out, because I liked what was happening up front. It was really exciting. You had, obviously, Nico doing incredibly well. Jensen had to put his foot down. He was made to work, you know, in a car that has a lot of pace that we've yet to see. And I thought that, you know, the tyres were working well. Nobody had really big tyre issues. And
well, they didn't get to use the bad tyre, though, did they? They were on softs, which was the preferable one.
Yeah,
this
that's
week.
True. But nobody started on the unpreferable one.
No.
Which is interesting. So nobody tried to get rid of it, I guess, because they assumed it was going to rain. We did have some... the battle between
you
Webber.
Loved it.
That was immense. So you had Webber with it started becoming damp, didn't it, and they turned to inters, is that right?
I can't really remember, but Webber, obviously his car is quite fast at the moment, and Hamilton does not have a fast car, but he had Kurs.
Oh yes.
And the pair of them were duking it out round for at least a couple of laps,
it
round every
immense.
corner.
So Webber was faster in the corners and Hamilton was faster on the straights. Each, you know, several times each of the drivers like break themselves. It was a brilliant battle. For all the changes and all the problems we've had with the 2009 regulations, I have to salute the people who came up with the fugly front wings and the really high back wings, because it really, really did make a difference. No doubt when everybody's got Kurs and the playing field becomes leveled, it will be less fun. But right now, I salute the people who came up with the 2009 regulations. That was immense.
It was also great when it did start to get wet, because Glock had the right tyre on at the right time, and he was just passing people as if they were stopped.
Yeah, that was fun. You know, that's when a tyre gamble comes good.
You could see at the end of the race that he'd really enjoyed himself as well.
Yeah.
Even though maybe it didn't play out how he'd like, he still had a really good time.
I mean, it would have been nice maybe if he'd got second, which he just lost at the last when they did the count back. it was just one of those moments when the team called it right. It's exactly the opposite of what happened in Brazil when he was out there on the wrong tyres and you know, his car was all at sea. The guy just drove around everybody. And I'm slightly concerned by, I mean, clearly Jenson Button won the race and they had some good strategy calls there. I do worry that possibly they weren't in as much control as they looked like they were, because, I mean, obviously Jenson was playing catch-up from the start. He had to put in two extra special flying laps
to get the lead back from Rosberg.
Yeah, they had to give away their pace advantage, which they didn't have to do at the last race. They managed to keep it under their hats, but really we saw how fast that car can go. And I do think maybe they could have made a slightly better pit call in terms of which tyres should be running when.
After the race, Barrichello didn't look too impressed.
No.
I mean, you can imagine that he probably had quite a frustrating day because he wasn't where he wanted to be. But you just get the feeling he's sort of like, yeah, congratulations to Jensen again.
For a guy who didn't even think he'd be racing this year, I thought he might be a little bit happier. However, he is someone who's been on the wrong end of one too many Ross Brawn strategy calls in the past.
Yeah.
I do worry whether or not Jenson Button's getting all the radio time and Rubens wasn't getting
He might be being sacrificed a little bit.
Possibly.
And we know that he's had that a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. But then, you know, maybe that's why he's in the team. Maybe that's exactly why Ross wants him around. And maybe just had a bit of a sense of deja vu today.
Just in a bad mood.
Generally, yes. But his old team didn't do much better. It's not like he would have been, you know.
Well, no, that is true. Actually, it was quite embarrassing, wasn't it?
Kimi, I'm embarrassed by Kimi.
Really?
I really am. I think his attitude and his approach today was disgusting. I like the guy and I like his, you know, I generally think he's good for Formula One, but I do think that getting out of your race suit and calling it a day before anybody else did, it's insulting to the mechanics who are still working hard on your car. I mean, yes, he had a KERS problem. Yes, it didn't look like the race was going to be restarted anyway. No doubt he was really, really miffed about being put on the wrong tyres at the wrong time. I just thought it was insulting. It wasn't playing the team game. That was
especially
playing the Kimi game.
I mean, a lot of people were still sat in their cars. Now, obviously, it is a personal choice whether you sat in the car or got out and sat on the wall, the pit wall. Or, I mean, some people went back to talk to their team.
Nobody
got out of their race suit and had an ice cream.
No. And that was rude. And he looked like he was being rude. He looked like he didn't give a damn. He was acting like a child, I thought. He was sulking and he was, instead of throwing his toys at the pram, he was getting the ice cream out of the fridge. And that's basically, you know, it's not an attitude of anyone who's going to, you know, going to go much farther in Formula One, I don't think.
So obviously the rain came and the race was red flagged. So we all had to sit around for an hour and wait to see whether it got restarted again, and it didn't.
Yep.
Which was a little bit disappointing, but I actually didn't mind it so much. I have seen a lot of outrage on the internet today.
Seems to be a bit of a controversial decision to run. I mean, Bernie wants the race run as late as possible in order to appeal to European audiences. That's us. So in actual fact, the race is being run late for our benefit, so that we don't have to get up in the small hours of the morning to watch a race. So we can't be too upset about it, I don't think. Yes, it rained, and yes, it got dark. Had it happened earlier in the day, it still rained. Journey pointed out in the comments, Journey went to the racetrack, he pointed out in the comments that it rained at 12, it rained at 3, it rained again at 5. Therefore, it didn't matter when the race was run. The area of the world that they were racing in has these monsoon rain conditions, and you know, we've been lucky in the past that it hasn't brought races to a stop. It looked like it was always going to today. It didn't matter what time the race was run. It got dark, agreed. It wasn't great for drivers, but they coped last week when the sun was setting, and they looked like they were coping fine this week. There was, you know, nobody went off as a result of saying it's just too dark. The rain was the problem, and there was no getting around the fact it was just going to rain this weekend.
A lot of people have said it just was wrong of Bernie to even set it up, because he must have had all this information. You know, it's rained at 5 p.m. Yep. every day for weeks and weeks, and so he should have known. But I just think that, fine, I get that. You know, if he had the information, that maybe it was a dodgy call. But you have to try new things. Yep. Otherwise, you're just going to stand still. And I mean, last year, there was a lot of worry about whether Singapore was going to be, you know, worth running, whether it was going to be dangerous, what was going
to
happen.
Turned out to be fine.
And it turned out to be okay. I mean, there were some problems and they will be fixed. And
well,
it was okay.
As will this. No doubt this will get reviewed.
Well, yeah. So the thing is, if it happens exactly the same next year, nothing changes, it rains, it gets rained off again, then we have a right to be mad. Now I think, okay, he's tried it once, it didn't work, they're going to look into it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, next year, it's one of those things. It could be bright sunshine, boiling hot. The race runs to its conclusion early. The sun never sets before the end of the race. It never becomes a problem. And no one will make much of a fuss about it, as they didn't last week with the sun setting.
In the comments, Graham's just said, if it rains earlier, it is warmer and the track has a chance of drying.
Right. Whereas if it's dark and cold...
it doesn't. Although, I mean, the race we watched, it didn't stop raining.
No.
It got red flagged and the rain just carried on.
Yeah,
until the time was up.
They couldn't even follow the safety car to completion. I did think it didn't, the way the suspension was handled didn't cast Formula One in a great light, because we were just sitting around waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, and
someone could have made that call earlier.
Yeah, I think, I mean, on the commentators were saying that perhaps they weren't making the call because they were too busy trying to work out who had won. They were too busy trying to do the count back. But I don't buy that. I'd rather they said, okay, that's it, it's stopped.
Yeah.
And then spend 2 hours working it out. It's much better that way. I don't want to sit there for an hour.
No.
It's the same as when we had to sit for 20 laps behind the safety car.
It killed the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And somebody should have gone out and said, this is... I'll tell you what the other problem was. Nothing was being communicated to the television crews. So no one really had a clue what was going on. We had an inside shot of the safety car and they were just twiddling their thumbs.
They don't talk to each other.
Very quiet inside
I
there.
I find it... really uncomfortable.
They were,
to watch
they were
them.
Actually watching kangaroo TV in the safety car.
You'd think they'd be discussing, like, when's your flight?
The communication.
What are you having for dinner?
The communication back to fans was abysmal, and that could be fixed. There's no reason for us just to be sitting around not knowing what's going
at
on.
At least even saying, well, they are still reviewing the situation, they haven't made their minds up, because really, we didn't know whether the decision had been made and we just didn't know, or what was going on.
No, it looked like the drivers had made up their own minds that they weren't going back out. Led by Mark Webber.
Webber was canvassing opinions, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it seemed to be the general conclusion was actually, no, it's not safe to go back out. And that's fair enough. The drivers are out there. They know what they're up to. I think after the race, Lewis said it was the worst conditions he's ever driven in, which makes it worse than Fuji in 2007. So that is pretty bad. So really, what they should have done probably was red flag the race and said, right, that's it, game over. We're going to go to some 80s film now because, you know, Formula One is done and we've got some time to film.
Once they had managed to do the countback, it was quite funny because the podium was Button, Heidfeld and Glock. And in the press conference, Glock said, wow, at one point I was leading and the team said, you know, don't worry about pushing it too hard because you're leading. Then Button came out in front of him. So suddenly he was second. And then by the time he got to the press conference and the podium, he was third.
Yes.
And he wasn't quite sure what had happened.
No, but Glock came across really well. We're seeing more people in the post-race press conferences. I got so bored of seeing the same old faces for 2 years in a row, so it's nice.
Yeah, in the comments at the time, Lou said, I like Timo, he's funny. These drivers we didn't get to see last year are actually pretty funny. And you'd never know it because we'd never heard from them before.
I do worry that in the press conference, if the TV camera focuses any more on the big LG screen and pushes the driver's heads any farther up, it's just going to be their chins. It'll be the talking chin and you won't know who it is because they're clearly trying to get as much advertising for LG in as possible.
At least there'll be funny chins though. Instead of what we used to.
They won't be repetitive chins.
No. It was good as well that they all seemed very happy to be there. I can't remember who it was, but I saw someone say, I don't remember when it was, I think it might have been last week actually, that it's nice to see people being happy to be on the podium or in the press conference rather than people being miserable that they didn't win.
Yes. That's a very good point, actually. People.
I apologise that I don't know who said it.
But yeah, no, that makes sense. You've got people normally expecting to win, expecting to be there. And there was a run when Lewis had never, ever not been in the press conference at the end of a race, wasn't
it?
He had such a good run of races that when he came fourth, he was a bit lost and didn't know where to go. So this variety and the way things are spicing, you know, the way the season is spicing things up, it's quite interesting, quite enjoying that one. I will say just one other word for Red Bull Racing. Their car was awesome. Vettel managed to, it looks like it's a little bit tricky to drive in the wet, but in the intermediate conditions, both Webber and Vettel were just passing people left, right and centre. And that's a great little car they've got going there.
Apologies for bringing up the same topic 2 weeks in a row, but we just wanted to update on the BBC coverage.
Right.
Because now we've experienced 2 weeks of it and we have more opinions.
Go on then.
More what complaints. Opinions have you,
what opinions have you got now?
Jonathan Ledyard is not good.
Oh dear. He came in for some stick last week and we said, oh, we'll give him a break.
Yeah.
He's rubbish.
Yeah.
I know. We had a debate on, I think it was Friday, as to the merits of Anthony Davidson as a commentator. If you don't like or you have issues with Anthony Davidson and what he says, you really must have a bucket load of issues with Jonathan Ledyard, who's utterly, utterly, utterly shocking.
I mean, everyone makes mistakes, but there was one point when He was getting all excited about Webber, spinning off again, and actually it was just a replay.
Yeah.
And it's just so embarrassing.
He actually doesn't know what he's talking
there
about.
There was one...
That's the problem. He doesn't know Formula One. There was one point when he was really proud that he spotted Alonso, got out of trouble, just like Schumacher might have in the past.
That's right. I was going to say that at that time I went, oh my God, he knows something.
Yeah. The guy is utterly clueless, and I please just get him out of that seat. He's not going to improve fast enough.
No, because the thing is, he is a good commentator, but he doesn't have the knowledge behind it.
I can't see how he can... He's got 2 weeks to learn Formula One, and I can't see him doing it. He's really not very good, and he's absolutely letting the team down. You're not a fan of Eddie, but I don't think Eddie is anywhere... I don't have too many issues with it. I think, Legend is just the weakest link, and it's time to say goodbye.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't know if everyone has listened to the side pod panel we did, where Lukey said that he actually... was missing James Allen.
Shocker.
And I gave him a minus point for that.
Yeah.
I want to take that back.
I don't miss James Allen at all.
No.
I'm glad he's not there, but I will concede that he was a damn sight better than Jonathan Ledyard. I don't want him to come back to the microphone. I don't want to encourage the BBC to even consider him.
What we really need is a mix-up of the two, because Ledyard is a good commentator but doesn't know enough about Formula One, whereas James Allen knows F1 inside out.
He's a rubbish commentator.
Wasn't that great at commentating.
How are we going to do that? I like the suggestion. I don't think it's possible.
One of our other complaints from last week was about the BBC Red Button service and what they were offering and what we could get.
Mm.
And we weren't
impressed.
We thought we were missing out. And I had an email from Chris. It says, I've just finished listening to episode 99. He could walk and talk for a start. You've been making podcasts faster than I've been able to listen to them.
Sorry.
Sorry about that. I thought I'd email you about the BBC coverage you mentioned. Through the Freeview system, the BBC only has a further 2 feeds capable of carrying a picture. You can access these through the red button or by going straight to channel 301 or 302 on your set-top box. For the extra feeds you mentioned, such as the lap chart, you need a Sky box, as the BBC carries, I think, 6 feeds on this platform.
Oh.
I'm not sure if using Freesat would get you the 6 feeds or not, but basically, as Mr. C stated, it's all about bandwidth and a satellite system has loads. Hope this helps you to understand why you didn't get everything that the BBC promised. Yes, it does. That's brilliant. Thank you.
That was not made clear to us at all.
No.
Okay, so that's right. So we don't have Sky free.
We are unable to get any satellite cable access, really.
The free version of Sky will carry it. So we don't get that. And so therefore we're going to miss out on that information, which is a shame. And I'm surprised you can't find it on the web either, because all that I can find on the web is exactly what you get on Freeview, which is the onboard, the alternate commentary, and the main feed.
Yeah, it is difficult because when they're advertising all this great stuff on the actual television, and we're thinking, well, we can't get that. And fair enough if it's the technology, but they're not telling us that.
No, it's entirely not. I mean, it's not clear at all. You get the there was a pop-up during the show that says this is what the red button service looks like. And we're like, no, it doesn't. It doesn't look anything like that. It doesn't work the way you advertise it. And yeah, we may have to sort that out. We're going to have to get some satellite.
And we mentioned the CBBC commentary last week and how it wasn't very good. And I just wanted to share this comment from Sion Andy during this week's race. He said, CBBC update, Barney has drunk 1/12 of his 3 litres of water and hasn't gone to the toilet yet.
Yeah, right.
How does that help?
It's by far and away the worst idea ever. And I can't believe people are throwing money at this. I want my licence fee money back. As we mentioned not so long ago, Jurnia, was at the race. He was in Malaysia. He was getting wet. He was enjoying himself, apparently. And very kindly, he sent, because he's gone to sleep now, such as the time difference between us and Malaysia, he sent us a voicemail about his day.
Hey guys, so came back from Sepang. This is an absolutely brilliant race. It was just 1 hour, but even if it was just 1 hour, I think we still saw more action in that 1 hour than we would have seen in most races this decade. Just goes to show how much the new rules, I think, have really helped provide great racing all around from the front to the back of the grid. I guess the rain also helped, but there you go. Very interesting weekend also. Lots of things going on. Got some great autographs, especially from Ron. That was absolutely special. In other areas, though, the organization left a lot to be desired, especially when it came bucketing down in the rain. The organizers, I think, fell really short there. I'll go into a bit more detail when I have my put together my guest post with all my experiences, all my anecdotes there. It's going to be a bit long, but I think it's going to be something special and something that those of you guys who want to go to Malaysia, you can use that as well as a guide, I think. And I do recommend that you guys get to go to Malaysia. Very cheap tickets, cheap accommodation and transportation as well. I think it's going to be a lot of fun if you get to go here. So that's it. Hope you enjoy the show. Bye.
Thank you, Journey. Very much appreciated. Sounds like you had a brilliant time there. Looking forward to the guest post too.
Weren't there £10 tickets or something?
There was a student option, I think, for Friday.
I think I'm going next year.
Yeah.
I could get away as being a student.
We should talk about the grandstands on Friday, which were desolate.
There was maybe two people.
Yeah, I think Journey was there and possibly the person he was with. And I'm pretty sure there was nobody else in the grandstands on Friday. It was very, very embarrassing.
They did say that I think the weekend tickets, so especially Sunday, were the sales were up. So it's getting more popular.
Up against and, what, though?
Well, previously.
Okay.
And also the people that we saw were having fun, even though it was raining, because obviously there were some people sliding down the hill.
That was good. I was slightly concerned by the people who were in the covered grandstands, but who found water gushing out behind them.
Yeah, that looked really scary. I wouldn't like that at all.
Quite sure what was going on. What's the point of being in a covered seat if the water comes flowing down the steps behind you? It's a bit concerning. It looks like wherever you go, you get a raw deal there. But I really, really... the Friday session looked like a test session. It looked like a closed private test because there was just no fans. There was no atmosphere. And it didn't come across very well. One thing I do want to mention, which Journey brought up, was he got autographs.
Yes.
So this mandatory signing sessions,
it worked.
Works a treat.
He got
already.
Some from Braun. I think in the comments he said he even got to speak to Jensen briefly. Just said good luck or something, you know, as you do.
Wonderful. That's
amazing.
What we want to see. That's the FIA rules doing something for the good of the fans.
Fantasy Racers.
In fifth place is one Pablo Montoya with 669 points. And in joint first, Yorkshire F1, Spitfires at Dawn, Force Honda B Team and Team Super Emu with 670.
So how's Fantasy Races looking this week? Need I ask, dare I ask, where you are?
Well, I'm not in the top five, obviously.
Yay! Where did you fall to?
I am 25th.
Who... did it
Which,
for you.
Do you know what? That's actually still pretty good compared to last year. So.
That is impressive for week two. Who did you have and where did you lose out?
Well, I swapped Glock for Trilly,
right.
Which was stupid.
Okay.
And also I brought in Raikkonen,
ah,
which is just a stupid thing to do.
That wasn't
crazy.
Smart.
I'm going to swap him right back out again.
Yeah, that may be the last time Kimi Raikkonen ever enters any Fantasy Races team ever again after that performance.
Do you want to know where you are?
No, not really.
Last week you were something like 189th or
so low it doesn't matter.
Like yep, and this week 221st.
Wow, I'm setting new heights.
Of lows.
Exactly.
We are the top private league still though, so thanks to everyone in the top five.
What's our score?
We've got 1,497.8. Hello F1. A second with 1,469, and Autosport are still third with 1,450.4.
What happened to Team Force India?
They fell to fourth.
Oh dear.
But it's interesting that they fell to fourth and Autosport stayed third.
What a turnaround.
Mm. Prices news, and obviously this will change as the drivers get selected more and more, but it looks like a general trend that Massa, Hamilton and Raikkonen are falling in price. As we said, that's hardly surprising with Kimi. More and more people dropping them. Button shot upwards after the first race, almost doubled in price, and he is still rising now. Kubica went up for Malaysia, but looks to have dropped already post-race. And Weber is rising slightly, as are Trilly and Glock.
It was suggested in the comments that what we need to do alongside the who scores the most points competition, we also should have some kind of who made the most money competition at the end of the year. Because
yes.
You may be able to make an awful lot of money, but not actually do very well. In terms of
picking
finishes.
The drivers that go up.
Yeah, selling well, buying low and selling high, essentially. Which is brings me on to a good point, because I did have a bit of a moan in the comments this week.
Yeah.
About the way that Fantasy Races has changed. From my perspective, I think it's slightly more complicated. Well, it's far more complicated and a little bit too complicated for
I
me.
Don't think it has to be.
Well, no, I'm playing to last year's rules. I'm ignoring the fact that drivers go up and down in price, and I'm just picking the drivers I want on Fridays.
Yeah.
Because it's too much. It's too complicated for me.
Well,
I'm not clever enough.
And
for
I
it.
Think that's fair enough. But I think for the people that want to get more out of it, obviously there's that extra layer. And I'm doing the same as you. Is that when it gets to Friday, I look at who I've got. I look at who did well in free practice, and I swap in and out as I feel like it.
I'll let you into a little secret.
Yeah.
It is generating more conversation, and it is giving people more option in terms of strategy. But I did hear on the grapevine that Kathy has a spreadsheet, and she's taking it very seriously, and she's calculating all sorts of prices at all sorts of times and keeping a very close eye on it. So she's one to watch in terms of profit,
right,
if not points.
Well, that's good. And maybe she could share a version of it with us, even if it wasn't the most up-to-date one, just so we could see what was going on.
Yeah, that might be quite useful. So there's almost effectively two games going on within Fantasy Racers. And if anyone else is playing the stupid game, last year's rules, you know, for people who can't add up like me, do let me know and I'll have a mini competition with you, because I can't have a competition with the people in the front who are taking it way too seriously.
Well, you can still have a competition with them, but the difference is, like, they may be able to get, if they get in early and buy a driver when he is not as expensive. That's the only difference, is that you may miss out on a driver that you really want, but then again, you might not. And so the only way you really lose out is on the secondary championship of making money.
Yes, that's true.
It's also worth pointing out, and there's no particular reason for this, but Jordan F1, our winner from last year, currently in 267th.
Oh,
so
dear.
So even you are beating him.
How
even
the
you.
Mighty have fallen. Jordan, what happened there?
A lot of work to do, I think.
Goodness me.
Feedback. On the subject of fantasy races, I had an email from David who said, "Thanks for such a fab load of podcasts, blog, and a great community. I'm an avid fan of all your podcasts. I mainly listen to them in the car and sometimes with my three boys, aged 10, 11, and 13, who are all fans and watch the races with me."
I'm so glad, in that case, that I didn't swear earlier.
Yes. Thank you for that.
Thank goodness for that.
The podcasts are great for broadening their understanding and interest, and it gives me an excuse to listen to some twice. Now that is dedication for you, isn't it? My eldest even has his own fantasy races team called Slap the Yak. I have a main team that I will compete with called One Shining Wit, plus some control teams, Big Guns, Little Fishes, Diffusers, and Cash. The latter has no drivers, but is nonetheless 3,051st out of 4,612.
Really? So with no drivers?
Even ignoring some of the oddly empty and no cash teams at the end, there's still 1,000 plus teams that would have been better not having hired anyone to drive the cars.
Oh dear.
It's worth pointing out that his son's team, Slap the Yak, is in 275th. So a little bit of work to do there.
Okay.
And his team, One Shining Wit, is 6th.
No
so
way.
He just missed out on the top 5.
That's incredible.
Mm.
Wow, is that Dave?
Yes.
Go, Dave.
We also had a voicemail this week from Lukey, who was a little bit upset with the way the FIA were changing things.
Okay.
Hello, it's Lukey here. I just wanted to leave you with a quick song to sum up the FIA that I think everyone would enjoy. You put a driver in, take a driver out, in, out, in, out. You change the rules about. You take it to the stewards and it gets turned around. That's what it's all about. Whoa, the FIA. Whoa, the FIA. Whoa, the FIA. Another day to change the rules. Go, go, go. Thank you very much. You'll see me on next year or something like that. So, yeah. Thank you. Bye.
If you're anything like me, that will be stuck in your head all day.
That's brilliant. We have some kind of unofficial side podcast singing competition going on.
Yeah, because we get a couple of submissions from Alex.
And
every now and again.
Joining the fray. I like this. Side pod karaoke.
I think someone said we should have side pod idol.
Oh, that might have
that
to be done.
That might be good.
We might have to do that maybe on a parade lap when it returns. Not next week.
Not yet.
We have to know when it returns. We'll do that. Side pod idol.
Housekeeping.
I have an apology to make.
What have you done?
I made a bit of a faux pas with my coding. And I missed out a character. And it was a very, very important character in a file.
Just one?
Yeah. See, what I did was we have something of a popularity surge over the last week and a bit. And I'm not entirely sure why. We had something similar last summer. And I spent a good week reorganizing files to make sure that we didn't play a huge amount in extra bandwidth charges. And the same thing happened, I think, last week. I guess partly, you could say, it might be Joe being on the show. It could be the fact that the season's just started and people have gone nuts. But
and also, we've been putting out a lot of shows.
Yeah, I mean, basically, the amount of bandwidth we're using has gone up something like 7 times the amount we were putting out 2 or 3 weeks ago. So it's a huge increase in terms of what we're sending out. So hello to everybody who's just listening in, all the new listeners, that's cool. And also to all the new listeners who didn't expect to be listening in but are now, because what I inadvertently did is in iTunes, I redirected the video feed. We have a separate
feed.
The one
solely for the videos.
Solely for Inside Track and Inside Podcast TV. I redirected it to the main feed, which contains
Everything.
Well, audio and video.
Yes.
So you may have subscribed to one feed, and if you updated that feed in the last 4 days, before I noticed the error, then you've suddenly got yourself a bunch of audio feeds you weren't audio podcasts that you weren't expecting. And for that, I do apologize for making you download something you didn't particularly choose to. I think Flipster pointed that out in the comments on Friday, and he said his feeds went nuts, and I wasn't sure what happened. It turns out it was all my fault.
Talking of the show with Joe, we were asking for name submissions because we couldn't think of a decent name, and we had quite a few, but I think there's one that's leading the pack at the moment.
Yes,
isn't there? I
can't remember who submitted this.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Somewhere in the comments was a recommendation for an aside with Joe.
An aside, is it little A capital S?
Yeah, I think so. So essentially you've got the side podcast in there, but it's an aside with Joe. It's like an additional bit of side podcast, and that seems to be leading the choice of
it seems like choice. A good one. And but if anyone else has any, you get them in.
You have a week. We're gonna obviously there's no race this weekend, this coming weekend, so we're probably gonna sort out the rebranding of that show in the next 14 days. So if you've got any more ideas, please do let us know. And if not, that's what the show will become, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll be able to speak to Joe before the China Grand Prix.
So like you said, there's no race next week, and we are going to take the weekend off.
I can't believe it.
I know.
You have been doing podcast after podcast after podcast.
I know.
Some people have been complaining that they really can't keep up.
Yep.
So, sorry. But yeah, next weekend, nothing. No miniseries?
Nothing. I am going away, but I will keep my eye on the comments. I'll be live commenting, probably.
And you're going away without me, which is quite exciting.
Yep. Thank God for that. but the thing is, it's been pointed out to me that I might need a break, seeing as for the past 3 nights, I've had dreams about Formula One, and I've been talking in my sleep.
Yeah, so. You've been working incredibly hard, and I think you deserve a break.
Yeah.
You've done so much. It's been an amazing start to the season.
And let's be fair, you'll be having a break too, because I won't be talking constantly.
I don't have to listen to you for a whole weekend. I'm looking forward to it. Oh, wow. Goodness me. The mischief I could get up to. We will be back, I believe. You'll be back with a digest show on Thursday the 16th, which is the preview for the Chinese Grand Prix.